man, how's the head?
It's been better. It has been better.
Do you want to tell everyone what you've just done like 10 minutes previously?
I went out last night.
I feel like you should.
And we pre-drank wine.
Oh!
Fucking, I don't fucking know, man. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Drank wine. Me and Enya nicked a bottle and a half between us in like 20 minutes. Not even.
Kiva.
I was drunk before I left the house, like, and all we'd had that day was we had McDonald's. So, like, how much soakage is in that? None. Yeah.
Don't let McDonald's trick you because it's like fast food and the greasier the better. Nah. That shit disappears from your stomach within like 10 minutes. You might as well have eaten air. It does not count.
Fucking sand might as well.
So if your prep meal is McDonald's before a night of heavy drinking.
We said we were like, oh, we need to be careful. And then I forgot. Then I went on the double Jemisins because I'm a fucking stupid cunt.
Mm-hmm. As per usual.
Lost my purse. I have to ring.
Oh, fuck, Kiva.
I have to ring the Queen's to see do they have it. I need to cancel. I've paused my Bank of Ireland card.
Yeah.
I need to pause my Revolut card, but there's nothing in it anyways. So that's fine. It's not really a big deal.
Yeah, sure. They can't do anything with that then, I don't think so.
No, you, like, Revolut is a debit card. So, like, you know, you need to have the money to
use
it.
Yeah, but I mean, if there's nothing on it, like, they can't use it. Like, they can't top it up from their end.
Exactly.
They'll need, like...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you'll be fine.
It's no good to them, like...
No. That's, like, my biggest fear on a night out is to lose my purse.
All the girls are like, oh my God. And I was like, it'll be grand. It'll be fine. There was money in it, which is annoying, but like, I think fuck had taken out a lot of my money. I'd only left in, well, it was about €100, but yeah. Well, it mightn't have been as much because I'd spent some of it.
So some hooers probably gone about 60 quid of your money though, realistically.
Very annoying, but
at least you're positive. Not positive, but like, you're very calm in these situations, and I'm very jealous of it. Like, I know the attitude is like, sure, I can't do that, and so what's the point we're in?
Yeah,
but I'd be having a fucking mare.
Yeah, there's nothing I can do. Enya had left out keys for us, so I had a bit of a meltdown. It was a whole thing. I shouldn't drink Jameson. I've decided I'm not going to drink Jameson anymore.
Kiva, no. When I come home, we're drinking the bottles of soju, but then we're going to go out one of the nights, either when we're home or when we're in London, and we're going tit for tat, two of us, because we do be chatting fair shite about like how we can outdrink most lads. We have to, like, I feel, keep account of how many we drink.
We need to test the soju thing for sure, because there's no way that four would get you drunk. No. I don't believe it. But then again...
No, I don't believe it.
Like, I've seen things online and people are like, oh, halfway through my soju bottle. We fucking drank one each in 10 minutes on empty stomachs and we were fine. Like, I didn't even... I might as well have not drank anything. Kind of fine. I could have drank 7-Up for the amount of effect it had. So we'll test that out. But yeah, one of the girls dropped us home. Niamh came here. This was bizarre, right? Mm-hmm. She dropped us off. Enya had left keys outside. Niamh got the keys, but I was like, I don't know why we didn't use them. I couldn't work them or something. I don't know. We ended up climbing in my bedroom window. Niamh fucked it really badly and she fell in my window, landed on me, knocked me. I have a massive lump on the back of my head and a big bruise up my thigh. We were in a heap. It was really bad. Like, Mam heard us trying to get in the door, but and like came out look like after us, being like, Eva, come in this way. And I panicked and I was like, get in, and fucking dragged me in, and that happened. And then
Kiva,
I was like, okay, I'll be back in 2 minutes. I took off my skirt, so I was just in my shirt. I woke up in the office this morning. I don't remember coming in here or anything. Woke up in here on the couch. I was so fucking cold. You've no idea. This room gets really, really cold. It's just one of those rooms. And I'm pretty sure the window was also open. I woke up and I was so fucking cold. All I was in was a fucking satin shirt. That's it. Got up, went out to my room. Niamh was nowhere to be found. Went on my phone. I was like, what the fuck? Went on my phone, had messages there from her that she was like, Eve, I've searched this whole house for you. I can't find you. I'm going home. So she went home at like 4 o'clock in the morning, got a taxi. And I was like, what the fuck?
Oh my God.
She was sitting down in my room for ages because I was like, okay, I'll be back in a minute. And I just came up here and obviously lied down and passed out.
Would she not have just gone to sleep in yours?
She should have, but I'd say she was just like confused or something. But it was fucking weird. And anyways, yeah, I woke up today with a head like a mashed fucking turnip. I was in such a heap. I've never been so bad. I got up here, went down to my room and got into bed and I was so cold. I was just like, I was shaking in bed.
Shivering.
I was so
cold. Fucking hypothermia.
I
was coming and knocking like...
It was so bad, man. I woke up anyways. My makeup was still on. My eyes were all puffy and fucking swollen after my meltdown. I couldn't see. I get up and I come into Aine and she's like, "You all right?" And I was like, "Not fucking kinda, not even kinda. Am I all right?" Louise, I don't know if she would mind her name being mentioned, but I'll ask her.
I don't think so.
I don't think she will.
Yeah.
Shout out to Louise. She doesn't drink, so she gave me the rundown of, I was like, "Oh my God, I fear have the fear." And she was like, "No, you were fine." Listed out every fucking person I'd spoken to the whole night. Apparently I was talking to these two lads. Shit stirred really bad between them and left.
You're a fucking menace.
I don't know.
Eva.
I don't know. Apparently they had an argument after I left and I have no idea. Yeah, so then what happened was, got up this morning and we had a bagel. I really regret not getting a second one. It would have been class to have two. Chicken Caesar bagels, lads. Anyways, me and Lizzie were ready to record. It's 5:30 now. We were meant to record at 5:00 and I texted her at 10:10 being like, "Oh, I'll be 10 minutes. And then it was 20:20 and I was like, "I actually need to get sick. I'll be 10 minutes.
There might be intermittent vomiting breaks in this episode. And if Savannah is so kind, anytime Kiva does disappear to go vomit, I just want vomit noises playing throughout the duration that she's gone.
Yeah, so moral of the story, kids, is don't pre-drink wine. I don't know who I thought I was.
On an empty
I don't
stomach.
Know who the fuck I thought I was. Who drinks wine?
But
not
man,
me, anyway.
I'll tell you.
People
right?
who like
I
wine
still
drunk.
Keep on trying to drink like I'm 21.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 21.
I'm drinking like I'm sitting in fucking Hazel Park, man. Who do I think I am?
Honestly,
who?
I don't know. Now, shall we get into it?
Yeah, yeah. Who's going
first? Begrudgingly
so,
because I know you're dying. But I suppose a lot of people have died in this as well, so it's only fitting.
Yeah. Who's going first? How do the 20...
So while Kiva does that, I suppose we'll just go ahead and say, right, look, Savannah's actually going to be back next week. Round of applause. Her surgery went well, thank Christ. And she had a bit of a recuperation time. Now she's back.
Did we tell people that she was...
Yeah. We said she was unwell, but we didn't say what was wrong.
Okay.
I suppose it's none of our business to say what was wrong. Like,
no,
but,
it's not.
Yeah, she's grand anyway. So she's going to be back next week. And I think we're going to start again with a heavy hitter series. But for the meantime, me and Kiva have brought back ghost stories. Because to be fair, we haven't done one of these, like a good spook.
In a long time.
In a good while.
We haven't done one this season anyways. This season,
no,
I say.
Definitely not. Like, this season. Like, it's been a hot minute. A hot minute. But, right, while you're looking up the dice, I have a question to ask you.
Okay.
So, to win €1 million, you have to survive 24 hours getting chased by like a horror villain. Could be any of them, anyone that you choose.
Okay.
Who are you picking and why?
Where am I? What's the terrain?
You can be wherever the fuck you want.
Who's the fella? Oh, what are the villains?
Okay, so you have Jason Voorhees, you have Freddy Krueger, you have Michael Myers, you have Chucky.
Isn't...
Could be zombies from like The Walking Dead, anything like that. Your man from Scream.
Isn't that fella that... Jason Voorhees, he's the guy who is in your dreams.
No, that's Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, I pick him and I just won't go to sleep.
Yeah. Kiva, isn't that honestly, I was thinking the exact fucking same thing. Like, watch me just go into a fucking K-pop spiral and not go to sleep for 24 hours. Even
it's so easy to not go to sleep. 24 hours is nothing. I just get up at 8 o'clock and then just do an all-nighter.
But then, because that's too easy, will we say you're not exactly getting chased by him because...
Yeah, no,
you
that doesn't count. That doesn't count. I would then say someone like, is it Michael that only walks around?
Michael, he does walk, but he's fast as fuck. He's got them long
and
ass
And realistically,
legs.
I don't have the fucking stamina to be going for 24 hours. So that's incorrect as well. I'm picking like I'm in a forest. First of all, I don't know
you're,
why.
You're picking that you're in a forest?
Yeah, I don't
okay.
know. I don't know why. I just feel like it's kind of one of those things where you just go and keep going and hide.
I mean, that's fair.
I don't know.
I think I'd pick Chucky simply because.
Oh, yeah, sure, he's only hitting and you'd boot him.
He's only. He's a height of a toddler, right? And my logic is, right, I work with like, or I mind like 24 kids, right? I mind, I teach them, do you hear me? But anyway, sometimes they will like try dogpile me and squish me on the floor and I do have to like fucking up and like throw them off of me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's about 6 or 7 of them at one time. I could launch that little hooer.
Yeah, I
a
don't know how. Like he'd have,
he
if you know
me,
he's coming, I feel like
the
thing with Chucky is he gets the jump on you.
But he's like, walking in the kitchen and the hooers jumping from the fucking cabinets. Like,
yeah, yeah, no, you're right. I'd pick
him.
Yeah, I'd pick him. And I, to be honest, I would stay with my like I'm outside, but I would nearly say I'd rather be in like a big field, like an empty space, because he can't catch up. Like he'd fucking climb a tree and jump down on top of me. So I'd
That's
pick
so true.
Like. I don't want to be in somewhere that he can like get the jump on me. Do you know?
Yeah.
But then also, if you're in a house, you just like
up something like a little rat,
run into a bedroom and just close the door, and like, what's he gonna do? You can't even reach the fucking door handle.
Valid fucking point. I think, yeah, I'd say Chucky. I think we'd mop him. To be honest, I think we'd actually kick the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Like, he would be gone.
Yeah, I'm going with that.
Okay. Question concluded. Right.
Okay, what are we doing? The dice ready? I'm odds, you're evens, isn't it? Was that what we did last time?
Sure, go on.
Okay, I've rolled it 3 times and I've gotten even every time, so it's your go.
Oh, okay. Meant to be, so.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's kind of a sin. And then I did it a second time, then I did it a third time, so.
No, no, it's fucking meant to be. And we can't forget to say, because I think Savannah might actually decapitate us, let alone fucking Chucky. So, let's dive in. Okay. Have you ever heard of the Monte Cristo Homestead?
No. I've heard of it, but I don't know anything about it.
This, I only knew, like, little drips and drabs. And when I tell you, it's a bit fucking bizarre.
Okay.
It's a bit bizarre. So, we're in the town of Junee, New South Wales. And the construction of this homestead began in 1884, and it was built by a man called Christopher William Crawley. And Christopher, right, he came from humble beginnings. He was just a farmer like his father, and his father before him. Like, it's just simple living for fucking as many generations as there was in Australia by the time all the colonizers came over, do you know, however long ago that was. But to be honest, I suppose everybody else knows that it's not an easy living being a farmer. And especially back then, like, it was no easy task. And sure, then he was determined to make a serious change with his life. And in a few short years, after making very, very clever investments, Christopher ended up owning quite a bit of land in the growing town of Junee. And before long, he became a pillar of the local community and wanted a home to reflect his rising status. So the grander, the fucking better. Like, he wanted to show everything that he was working hard for. And so the Monte Cristo homestead was built, and Christopher bought his wife and 10 children to the town of Junee. I'm sorry, 10 is fucking excessive. I know a lot of people back then had like a rake of kids, but 10 is just a bit too much for me.
Yeah.
Like, no wonder it was hard to support them. I'm sorry.
No.
10 fucking kids.
Like, I know, I suppose they didn't have fucking birth control, but still, like.
I know.
Still, I'm like.
And still.
Is there no preventative methods that, like, you know, is there no natural.
But wait, didn't they discover, or am I wrong? A condom made of like sheepskin or something like that was found back from like when the Egyptians were around, or like the Romans or something.
Yeah, no, I've heard of that. So.
But I suppose they're religious, aren't they? It's against God. See, you believe in God and this is where it gets you. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just surprised that there was never like a natural like food
flight
source kind of discovered that like you could eat and it would prevent getting pregnant.
Man, I guarantee there probably is some shit out like there like that, but just nobody has a clue.
Do you know, like, do you know the way like some foods make you more fertile? I'm surprised that there's nothing that goes the other way, like.
There, honestly, there might be. You never know. In some jungle fucking somewhere, there could be a plant or a fruit.
Even that men could eat that would kind of, like, affect the swimmers while it's in your system or something.
Anyway, so the last of the remaining members of the Crawley family lived in the house until 1848. But from the early years of its inhabitants, the Monte Cristo homestead saw many a fucking tragedy. And a total of 11 ghosts are said to haunt the homestead.
Right.
Before I even get into telling you about the ghosts, I'm going to say a lot of things done by said ghosts when they were alive and well. Okay, well, maybe not well. Definitely not mentally well. But anyway, alive. But just a lot of stuff that they did was pure bad form. Pure bad form. And I feel like they created their own fucking negative energy in that place. They were bastards.
Yeah.
Like, actual bastards. So Christopher Crawley died in the homestead on December 14th, 1910 from a combination of heart failure and blood poisoning. Now, the blood poisoning was caused by a fucking carbuncle on his neck that became infected because it was constantly rubbing up against the starch collar. So either the shirt was fucking rank or the man had an immune system like a fucking colander.
What the fuck?
Like,
it's
honestly,
a fucking
carbuncle. Oh, it's like a dirty boil, and it has like, it's yellow and has like a black ring around it. Honestly, it's a bit sick.
A cluster of boils.
That had carbuncles. It's dirty looking. So if you have this big dirty boil hanging off the side of your neck, you think you try to keep it clean. You know what I mean?
Not even that, but like, I can't, like, can you not, like, get rid of it? Like, can you not just, like, drain it? Like,
I'm sure
you can
might
drain.
Have got them lanced or something.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm thinking. Like, would you not just get it lanced rather than just letting it fucking fester and get bigger?
It's honestly dirty. And now, look, he fucking died because of it. So his ghost is set to haunt the rooms where he died, right? But however, his ghost, well, he's just a bit boring, to be honest. Like, he near a bit of crack about him. Like, he does nothing. He's just there. He just kind of minds his business, comes and goes as he pleases. So I'm going to rate him a solid 2 out of 10. He does nothing. He brings nothing. He's giving me very much boring. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But speaking of Christopher, the dirty fucking dog. Let's say he was either a menace or a predator, because I can't confirm which one is true. But Christopher ended up getting two of his housemates pregnant. So I mean, I don't know if it was a consensual thing, or if he was like, you're my property kind of thing. You know what I mean? But we're just going to say Christopher's going to be in the bad books.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's going to be in the bad books. One of the housemaids ended up dying while she was pregnant after falling from the balcony and she mashing herself on the steps below.
Nice.
Now, the thing is, we don't know if it was suicide or if she was pushed. And probably pushed by an angry fucking wife who just found out that her dirty dog of a fucking husband is after knocking up some poor young one.
Yeah. She freaked out.
The bastard that knocked her up in the first place.
Also, yeah.
So her ghost can be seen lurking around the veranda and can be heard crying at night. Also, the bleach stain from where they cleaned up her blood on the steps, like, you can still see it. So if you look up the homestead and the steps of the homestead, like, there's just this big white patch that kind of starts on the steps and goes down the steps a little bit from where they had to bleach it to get the blood out. Like, you can still see it because they didn't get the wood, like, redone or anything after it happened. So I feel like that's a bit sick.
Yeah.
Like, you can see the exact place where she mashed her head off the fucking floor.
That's really fucking gross.
It's a bit dirty. It is, isn't it? And for that, I'm going to give her a 6 out of 10. And because she's crying at night time, like, imagine you're walking by and you hear some bitch howling.
Oh, I'd be so annoyed.
In the middle of the night.
Shut up, man.
It's a bit scary. Like we get it. You're
okay, you've had a hard time. Like, okay, you're not special, man.
You didn't ask me how my day was. You don't know how, like, tough I had it. Guaranteed. Well, I didn't throw myself off a fucking balcony. Yeah, but still, very selfish. Right, but the next ghost is easily the saddest among them all. And I mean, I felt so sad reading this, and I understand why. Like, it's given me very much Jason Voorhees vibes, yeah. And I'll get into it. So, the second maid that Christopher got pregnant gave birth to her son, Harold Steele. Unfortunately, when Harold was a small boy, he was run over by a carriage. But he did end up surviving, but he was left severely disabled.
Now, I'm
Harold
actually
became nonverbal.
Oh my god.
Huh?
That's such a sin, like.
Oh my god! Kiva, turn around. Turn around right now. Look at your window.
Can you come in? Don't ever, you're fucking ever again loom at a window like that. Don't ever again do that. You fucking scary bitch. Lizzie, why would you scream?
Kiva, I'm
so fragile.
I see this black figure standing behind you in the fucking window. What do you mean? As if I'm not going to say anything. The hood up and all.
What was it behind me? Like, you could see it here.
Yeah. So I just saw this and then, like, a slight part of a face. I'm after
fucking
shit,
hell in your fucking.
I got a bit of a scare.
I was like, this is it. Like,
so like I was saying, Harold became nonverbal and experienced bouts of aggressive behaviour. And to deal with this behaviour, Harold was chained to his mother's bed. And as he grew bigger, Harold's mother moved him to the dairy shed behind the house. And she locked him up, like, she chained him up. Hardly ever went to fucking see him. Like, he was practically living like an animal. And the local kids would mock him because they would hear him scream all day long. Like, he would just be screaming, he'd be moaning because he'd no other way to communicate. And he was in a fucking, he couldn't say what he wanted. So he was just, like, in a bad way. And they used to call him a monster. And the children of Junie dared each other to go to the shed, try find him. And they'd fucking torment him.
Poking
him with sticks and shit.
That's
yeah, when he was curled up in the corner.
Kids can be so mean.
Kids are bastards. Honestly, kids are bastards.
Because you don't. And then, like, I know, like, obviously a lot of them might have grown up to, like, some of them might have grown up to be awful people. But a lot of them probably grew up to be sound and, like, feel bad about that. Like, there's things that I did when I was young and I'm like, that was actually such a sin. Do you know? Like, I didn't fucking poke and call someone a monster and, like, torment someone. But, I mean, do you know? That's such a sin.
I know. So he remained. In the shed. Remained in? What the fuck am I saying? Kiva, help me.
No, I'm actually struggling really bad. This chair, I'm after giving myself a heart attack. I was sitting up straight and then you lean back and it goes way back. I thought I was gone to God.
I thought you were gone to God. So Harold was basically kept in this dairy shed for 30 years until he was discovered by the authorities and he was moved to an asylum.
30 years?
Being locked up enough. 30 years after being locked in a fucking dairy shed, shackled, barely looked after. I'm sure that shit was freezing. Have little cunts from the town coming in mocking you, poking you with sticks and shit. Fucking miserable.
They really just, like, dehumanized him to the point that it was just, he was just an animal. Like,
yeah, literally like a circus animal. It's ridiculous.
That's so sad.
But he stayed in the asylum for quite a few years and he ended up passing away in the asylum. However, it said that his spirit had returned to the homestead. So Harold is said to make his presence known by rattling his chains. Disembodied howl-like screams can even be heard coming from the dairy shed. And few reports say that people have seen Harold's ghost, who appear to be hiding crunched over in the shadows, scared.
It's awful.
Like, no disrespect, Harold, that shit's scary as fuck. I'm gonna give that a solid 10 out of 10. Like, if I've seen that, I'm telling you, gone.
And it has, like, the sad backstory as well, that's like,
it does.
Humanizes him a bit, that you're like, that's actually a really bad sin.
And the fact that, like, after he got out of there, his ghost, because he was so fucking traumatized from that place, that's just where his spirit went back to. Which is so sad, like, he can't even move on.
Because I saw a thing and it's like, ghosts are like an imprint of like whatever, like something really traumatic happening or something, like a really big event in your life that it like had such an effect on you that it left like an imprint. Like he was there for 30 years making that fucking imprint basically, which is such a sin. Like if that's what ghosts are, if you know what I mean. But you know, that like,
yeah.
It was that bad that, I mean, like he actually can't move on. That's a sin.
I hope the people that like caused that are fucking spit roasted in fucking hell.
Genuinely, like.
Like for his own mom to do it.
But see, the thing is they did that because they saw him as being like, it's a shame, especially if they were religious. They would have
But then if they're religious, should they not take the Bible into fucking consideration and not do vile shit to people?
Yeah, but then it could have been a thing of like,
if you read the Bible for what it is, it's not like, like, not that I'm fucking religious or actually give a shit about it. But like,
no, but I know, but you know, there would have been a lot of shame of like, well, what did you do wrong to deserve a son like that kind of a thing? And, you know, what did he do wrong? You know what I mean? Like, with all that kind of stupid shite like that. Anyone who isn't like your average person.
So people still knew, but like people still knew about him though, because like everybody used to come and torment him. Like even sometimes adults would come and do
I know, but they didn't want him around. Like, so as do in not try make him. They didn't want him around as if, you know, they were kind of accepting it. If that makes sense, would be probably my take on it. That like he's there, but like we're not going to kill him, but like we don't want him around.
I think it's sad, man.
It's so fucking bad. Like,
It's really bad.
People are awful.
Anyway, boom. We have a dead child on our hands, right?
Well, keeping on trend.
Well, So one of the Crawleys' grandchildren, Ethel, died when she was just a baby in 1917 because she was dropped down the stairs, as in this child bounced down their shit like a ping pong ball, broke her head. She was dropped down basically by the wet nurse, right? The nurse claims that she was pushed by an unseen force. Now, let's be real. It was a tragic accident and she's probably just trying to find a cop out to be like, I was pushed. You know what I mean? No, you weren't.
It's kind of gross to imagine. No, that. You actually weren't. She actually was though.
I know, but
also, how scary. Imagine dropping a child like that to the point that it died. You'd never see me again. That's why I don't like holding them. I don't like holding babies for that exact reason. I hate it. I'm like, get your fucking baby away from me until it's
solid. I know, especially enough. When they like let their like little neck roll back and I'm like,
like until they're like the solid enough that they're like
unattached.
Sturdy. Like, I love a sturdy child because it doesn't stress me out.
Yeah.
Like, frail, and they're small, little, like sickly really children, I'm like, freaky. Especially, and if they're, like, big, older, but, like, weak, or, like, really small, I'm like, I don't want any part of that. Thanks a million. Because if it gets dropped, it's not going to fucking be me that drops him.
No.
No thanks.
Because anything that happens to it then is on you.
That's a whole person that you've just dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, what? Dead now?
Yeah, peaced out.
Oh, gone. No thank you. Oh, gives me the
ache. It's gone, it's right.
That poor girl. So the child bounced down the stairs.
Yeah, so the child was bounced down the fucking stairs. So she was saying that she thinks that, or not that she thinks, she was saying that she was pushed, causing her to drop the child. But some people were like, we feel like she was dropped on purpose. And because the whole Crawley family were so fucking religious, she was trying to play on the fact that there could have been like an evil entity in the house that caused this, like that she should get in priests to bless the place, something needs to be checked out, all that kind of crack.
Okay.
So people thought that she was kind of trying to put a bit of a spin on it, just so it didn't look all like her cock up, basically.
Yeah, I mean, fair, I probably did the same. So, it wasn't me, it was the scary ghost.
So to this day, people that visit the homestead say that they feel a strange atmosphere around the stairs. Some feel an invisible force either restraining or pushing them, and young children become extremely agitated and upset when they're around the stairs, while others feel a tiny icy hand slip through their fingers.
That is so sick.
And that's a bit grim. It's the fucking, the icy cold dead child hand for me, like. So I'm going to give, see, it's a bit sad and it's only a small child, so I'm going to give it like a 5 out of 10. But
it's a little too sad to give it anything more, and it's also not scary enough to be anything more either.
No. Like, if I felt that down by my hand, would I swap my hand at it like I was trying to push a fucking fly away? But then I don't want to scare the poor child, because they're like, oh my god, I'm a child and I'm dead. The only child, like, dead child I have beef with is that little bitch Harriet that tried to murder me by pushing me down the stairs. So,
yeah.
I feel bad about being mean to this one. So next on the list is Christopher's wife, Elizabeth Crawley. Despite Christopher being a two-time and piece of shit and possible rapist, do you think Elizabeth would, you know, not be the sad person in the world when he died? But this bitch was distraught. I mean, fucking distraught. Like, this woman went up and set up a whole ass shrine in her attic dedicated to the hooer and called it a chapel.
Ew.
Like, had his picture, candles, literally everything, created a fucking effigy. It was weird. She became a recluse, right? So she never left the house for the next 23 years that she was alive. She only left the house twice. Only two times.
Like, that's not good for you.
No. And neither is giving a shit about a dead man that was possible rapist. I'm going to say it now.
No. Like, I mean, okay, you're allowed to be upset about it, right? But to make a whole shrine to the point that it's creepy, like, you're also not moving on now at this stage. You're, like, not moving on. And that's not good.
That's massively unhealthy. And why in the attic? That's a creepy place. If you wanted to be a church, would it not be in, like, a nice, open, bright place? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why isn't it a dark and dingy fucking attic?
No, I hate that.
Disgusting. I hate it so much.
I've heard the name Crawley before. Is there a Crawley, like, a character or something? I've heard that name.
Yeah, there is in Supernatural.
Yeah, I've heard the name somewhere.
He plays like the devil in Supernatural.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
Or he plays a demon or something.
I've never watched it, so.
Very good program. You should watch it.
Yeah, I remember you used to watch that. Okay.
So, because she was a recluse, right, she became extremely house proud. But because of, like, the reason she became so house proud, she became extremely vicious and cruel to the staff that were looking after it. So, like, if they did something that was, like, out of line in any way, as in if they put something in the wrong place and it fucked up the ambience of the room, she was battering them. She's
come
the type
on, like,
that would go around with, like, the white glove, check for dust. And if it was not up to her key, she would lose the fucking rag. Like, she'd beat them. She would say vile shit to them. Like, she was just horrible.
Like, you're just looking for... I suppose she was just looking for a reason to beat someone up.
She's probably just, like, an angry, bitter old fucking woman. And she was old, because she didn't die until she was 90 fucking two.
92?
92!
Fair play to her.
And a ruptured appendix took her out, no less.
Ow, that's a bad way to go.
When you're a rotten fucking person like that, her guts are literally rotten.
Wasting away. I also looked up there, it's Mary Crawley from Downton Abbey that I was thinking of.
Ah, oh, never mind.
Yeah.
I don't know why I immediately jumped to...
Supernatural.
Demon Man from Supernatural, but...
I mean, fair. It was a good shout.
And let me tell you, right? So this one is as spiteful in death as she was in real life.
It's always the way. While she was alive.
So if you enter the house and do anything that upsets her, I mean, if you go in and be like, stay at that fucking wallpaper, she's going to show herself and she's going to make a fucking shite here. So she can be seen wearing her mourning dress and carrying a silver cross. I feel like that's actually just a bit vile. Like, Elizabeth, get out of my face. Literally get out of my face, you spooky fucking bitch. So people have experienced being pushed out of rooms, have felt a heavy and threatening presence in the rooms that she haunts. Sorrowful wailing can be heard coming from the attic where the Christie shrine was. And several EVP clips have been captured where there's this old woman and she's growling at people to leave and get out.
Growling?
Like, you can hear that she wants to, like, hurt somebody in the way that she's saying it. So I think for Lizzie, I'm going to give her a solid 7 out of 10. Only because she is a bit of a plague and I know she'd go out of her way to frighten me. Because you best believe I'm getting in there, I'm like, the fucking state of this place. Because obviously, it hasn't been updated since 10.
Yeah, I don't like that now.
It's going to be ugly. And I will say it.
Sounds like just such an awful person. Like, it doesn't surprise me that she ended up being...
I'll tell you that for the right one. Oh, she was a cow. Like an actual wagon. So the next spirit is that of a young stable boy called Morris. One day, Morris was feeling extremely unwell and so he asked his boss if he could finish up early. He needed the rest. Morris was let off and he went back to the stables where he passed out from exhaustion and he wasn't able to move. Like, he was really, really fucking sick. But not believing that Morris was actually unwell, the boss apparently went and lit Morris's straw bed alight, thinking that Morris would wake up, run, proving that he wasn't actually sick. However, Morris was too weak to move and ended up burning to death on the mattress.
Oh no.
So an alternative story says that his straw bed, like, accidentally caught on fire, but I don't know. I don't know how a straw bed can accidentally catch on fire in the middle of the day. There weren't any candles. He was too weak to do anything. Like, why would there be candles, number one, in a stable? I don't know. So I don't believe that. I feel like it was the boss that went and threw a match on the old fucking straw bed to prove a point.
Yeah.
So Morris's blood-curdling screams can still be heard coming from the shed or from the stables. Like, as in, people can say that it does sound like someone's like in a great amount of pain, and it's like continuous for like 5 minutes, and then it just stops out of nowhere.
That's awful.
So I feel like his one's probably like how Harold's was, because it was such a painful fucking experience that this was the mark that was left on it. Because nobody's seen any apparitions, so I don't know if this is just like he's just saying moved on, but this is like a mark left on the place, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. God. I feel like burning to death is like probably the worst way to go.
Worst way to go. Has to be.
I feel like I can't imagine what would be worse.
So even like, do you ever like nick yourself off like a hair straightener or burning yourself off the cooker, anything hot, and it's only that small area, but it's fucking unbelievably painful. And then imagine that all over your body. Like, the shock probably kills you before the flames do, but still.
And what's worse as well is that it's like, I actually always thought was that like, I feel like you'd suffocate too, because,
oh yeah, probably
you can't breathe, there's your no oxygen burning up, sure.
No,
because of that's no. What fire uses, so you've no air.
Yeah,
so if you are screaming, I feel like you're kind of fucking yourself. Well, I mean, obviously, but like as in, I feel like you'll suffocate as well. Which is, oh my god, yeah. Like I feel
no,
like,
that's actually a very good point.
Yeah, it was one thing I always thought about, like, you know, when they were like burnt at the stake and stuff and they'd be burning for ages. I'm like, they definitely just suffocated like really fast.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I hate it. I always thought burning to death would be the worst.
It's actually fucking sick. No, it is.
Burning to death and falling are my like top two like worst ways.
Oof. See, the falling, I'm like, see, you have the fright of the falling and know that you're going to die and there's nothing that you can do to stop it.
Yeah.
But you can't cling to air to stop yourself. But is it because the impact is so, and then it's gone?
It's more the case I feel like it's the while you're still alive part is so scary.
Yeah. See, then drowning as well, because you know if you're drowning, you're going to struggle, but there's nothing you can do.
People say that drowning actually is quite chill. People who have like nearly drowned, they were like, I feel like that can't be true because I feel like it must be awful, but they've said like that it's, I don't know.
I don't believe that for a second.
I don't either. But I've seen people say it, but I'm like, I can't imagine how it would be.
Well, anyway, the homestead was left abandoned until 1948 after the last of the Crawleys left. But over the years, various groundskeepers would come and go trying to look after the place, but none of them really lasted too long or would even do a good job. So this kind of made Elizabeth's spirit, you know, a little bit restless, and she was fucking fuming. So you can just tell like there was so much negative energy going around the place because this bitch was in a foul form constantly because the house, you know, was going to ruins.
Mm.
And because of that like weird vibe that was going on in the house, none of the groundskeepers would actually stay there long because of it. So they were getting the experiences of being like pushed out of rooms, really heavy, like negative energy, shit going missing when they had like laid tools down and stuff like that. So a lot of them just like peaced out and left. But a man named Jack Simpson was a groundskeeper during the 1960s. And one fateful day in 1961, he opened the door to an unexpected and lethal visitor. Jack was shot at point blank range and he died immediately. His murderer was this mental fucking young lad that lived up the road, and he had watched the film Psycho 3 times. And thought, do you know what? I have a great idea.
Yeah.
So he just went, a single Jack, I thought, who's really going to miss him? Goes, shoots him straight in the chest. But before fleeing the scene, he carved, "Die Jack, ha ha," on a shed door. And you can still see the words to this day. Like, if you look at pictures of the shed, you can still see the words carved into it.
Oh.
Which was ultimately the same shed where old fucking Harold was kept as well. And so poor Jack is said to just, like, linger around the area. Like, he does nothing. He's just there. Like, he's stuck.
These are so grim, Lizzie.
I would be so mad if some tit up the road got a clever idea because he watched a fucking film and decided, oh, he's going to shoot me and I die. I'd be fucking fuming. I'm surprised poor Jack is being chill. Like, I know he's stuck and he wants to move on. But while you're there, wreak fucking havoc. I mean, you might as well. What else are you going to do?
Honestly.
Or at least haunt the little hooer that fucking killed him in the first place. Stupid little bastard. But since its purchase and restoration by the Ryan family in 1963, the Monte Cristo homestead has become a family home, museum, and a ghostly tour attraction. And you can actually stay there for like $190 Australian and they feed you. So you're paying to stay and they'll give you a cracking dinner as well.
No way.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like anybody that's traveling to Australia,
go do it. 100%.
And tell Elizabeth we said she's a trick ass bitch. She fucking is. Maybe call Christopher some colourful names too. Not that it's confirmed that he did that in Dodge, but I don't know. I'm not getting great vibes from him now, I must say. But so now that when people are staying in the homestead, right? Do you know if you're not somewhere or you're not staying in somewhere, if you're going out, you're just going to turn off the lights, save the electricity. I feel like that's bet into everybody now at this stage. So you just leave the lights off, especially if it's in a hotel where you don't have to worry about anybody breaking in or anything like that. You know?
Yeah.
You leave everything off when you come back in, right? So people have seen, they've turned the lights off, they've gone out, done their business, but when they're coming back to the homestead, they can see like bedside lamps and stuff around. Like things that wouldn't be like automatic lighting. And even at that, this place is so old, like it doesn't have fancy shit like that. So like it could be the ghosts or dodgy electrics, but it's a bit weird. And when the Ryan family first moved to the property, they claimed that their cat and their dog would not enter the homestead at all. Like they actually ran far the fuck away from it and refused to come into the house. Like they just wouldn't come into it. Like if two of your animals are like, nah, love, this isn't for me, and just stayed outside then indefinitely.
There's something off.
And then after that, after they started to get a bit settled, this really, really weird shit started happening. So subsequently, they went on to discover their chickens that they were raising had been strangled in their secure pen, right? So it wasn't like a fox or anything, or I don't know if they have mink had gone in and just like ravaged them. No, they were strangled and they had broken necks. A parrot that they had in the home was locked in its cage, was found choked to death. Like, had no food, no nothing in the cage that could have caused it to choke to death, but it was. So their kitten, or their cat that wouldn't come into the house, right? That cat basically ended up having kittens, and they took the cat or the kittens from living outside and were having them inside because, you know, they were too small. But the mam still wasn't coming into the house. So the Ryans kind of had to raise the cats, like, from a very, very, like, since they were kind of freshly popped, if you know what I mean. But they found the kittens dead and mutilated in the breakfast room. Like, they were torn to fucking shreds. Oh. And people are like, oh, it could have been like the mother cat like coming back in, killing the kittens because they didn't want, or the Ryans like had like, I don't know, fucking done something weird and they didn't want the kittens anymore, so it just killed them. But the cat refused to go into the house indefinitely since it showed up at the house. It refused to go in. So I doubt cats, it's going to go in, just kill the kittens and then go back
animals
inside.
Animals don't kill. Was that the mother cat you're saying?
Yeah.
No, that's not the mother. That's not.
She's not going to kill her kittens.
No, why would she do that? Like, they will reject, like, one or two, maybe, if they're, like, really sickly or whatever. But they don't just kill.
But they're not tearing them to fucking
for
shreds.
No reason. Like, that's not realistic.
No. And it wasn't the dog either, because if the dog would have done it, sure, there would have been its bloody little footprints going through the house. But there was nothing there. They were just mangled on the fucking floor.
What the fuck?
So it doesn't make sense. So other phenomena recorded by those who visit the home include nausea, fainting, overwhelming sadness, as if like you've just been the most depressive you've ever been in your life just by walking into a room. Icy touches, whispered messages, and unexplained mists and full body apparitions. And that was the Monte Cristo homestead. But
that's awful, man.
That is awful.
The poor kittens.
Bit fine. The kittens, yeah, that really kind of freaked me out, to be honest. That was a bit sick, like.
That's awful. Like,
even if it wasn't a ghost or something, but
for that, how many animals to be just killed like that as well?
Yeah. Like, if it was a ghost, whatever. But if it was, like, somewhat... Now, I'm not saying anybody did actually do it. But to add to the spooky factor, somebody just decided, I'm going to carve up these fucking kittens to add to the story. Like, either way, it's fucking awful. Yet again, I'm not saying that somebody went out of their way to kill these kittens, but I don't know.
I mean, something killed them.
I don't know how. Yeah.
Do you know? And it wasn't the mother cat. Like, I don't believe that for a second.
No, I don't. I don't believe it was the mother cat at all. So what have you got for us now today? Is there anything, guys? Slightly sad as that. To be fair, the only sad ones really were the two boys.
Yeah, mine aren't really sad. It's more like fucked up. I did the Ohio State Reformatory on Lizzie's suggestion. And I'd seen stuff about it before, like the BuzzFeed Unsolved boys did it and stuff like that. So I'd seen it before, but I never actually like proper looked into it. And it's really fucked.
Mm. Isn't it?
So on September 15th, 1896, in Mansfield, Ohio, the reformatory opened its doors to its first 150 offenders. They were building it at this stage. So they'd finished kind of building enough of it that they brought people in, but there was still like work to be done, we'll say. So these prisoners were brought in by train from Columbus, and they were put to work on like the sewer system and this big like 25-foot wall that surrounded the prison, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also built on the site of a former Union Army training ground, which I thought was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, bad vibes off the bat kind of thing. And it's huge, okay? The main building is 250,000 square feet. The east cell block, so one of the cell blocks, is the largest freestanding steel cell block in the world. It's 6 stories high and has 600 cells in it. The architecture of the buildings is like the Gothic kind of look. So it looked like a castle.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
So that, along with like the fact that the conditions inside the actual place were so bad, it ended up earning the reformatory the nickname of Dracula's Castle.
Yeah, I went, like, obviously if you've done something awful and you're going to prison, like, it's really not going to help your reform, I laugh as it'd be called a reformatory, when you're rocking up to a place that looks like fucking Dracula lives in.
Yeah.
Probably riddled with rats.
Oh my god. I can't imagine. I'd say it was so damp and everything, like.
Oh yeah. Can you imagine the smell?
Yeah.
Here's the park vibes.
Don't remind me. So, no wonder you got fucking sepsis, man.
I know. And shingles.
And, no you didn't.
I did. I got shingles and I think Adrian did as well.
That's so embarrassing.
I know. I didn't have chicken pox as a child, so unfortunately I got
to. Never went to a chicken pox party?
No. Blame my mother for that. Or maybe I did and I was just, I don't know, fucking a tank of a child and I was immune or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe you're just super good at fighting off the chicken pox, but not the shingles.
Mm.
Sad case. So, it's kind of like, it's fairly, what's the word, picturesque. We'll say. So it's been used as like a film set for a load of movies. Like Shawshank Redemption was filmed there.
Oh,
loads of tourists go every year and they go on like this Hollywood tour. And
Hollywood.
A load of people who've gone have said that like the highlights of the tour isn't actually the various film sets. It was actually like the paranormal encounters that they had. So yeah, many tours. Like they went for the film tour and then they were like, they've met ghosts. Instead, they said that they've heard whispers.
Which I mean, sorry, that's a fucking bargain. You're getting a Hollywood tour. You don't have to and pay for a ghost tour.
The ghost
are just like rocking up, please.
Unreal. So they claim to have heard whispers and like they experience cold spots when they're walking around through the hallways and going through the cells. And they've seen shadowy figures roaming around the basement of the reformatory.
Sick.
So there's several active spots in the reformatory, including the toilet room and east showers on the first floor of the east wing, the chapel, the admin basement, as well as the solitary confinement area, which was also known as the hole, which, I mean, sets the scene.
Sorry, fucking Mona Myrtle, like, imagine haunting a bathroom, please. So, that's very embarrassing now. Haunting the toilet,
like. Yeah. The reformatory opened with, like, the best of intentions, right? It was supposed to be a place for, like, minor criminals and... like first time offenders, you know, like the petty shite. People would go there and it was,
yeah,
you know, really a place that people were going to actually be reformed. That there was like regular church services, there was a school, there was a gym. They had training areas where inmates could learn a trade for like after their release. Like they had like a furniture shop so people could learn carpentry.
Yeah.
They had like an industrial kind of thing so people could learn how to work in factories, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And from 1935 until 1959, a man named Arthur Lewis Gatke was the superintendent. He was initially appointed in, it was kind of like a political move.
Right.
But he was actually really good at his job and he was really nice. So he was respected by the professionals and the inmates too. Like people liked him. He brought in all these different changes, like he piped in radio music to the cell block, stuff like that would just keep people from going fucking mental.
Yeah.
And he was a real family man. Like he brought his wife and his two sons and they lived in the living quarters of the prison. So it was like, you know, he was there all the time and he was sound.
Yeah.
His wife Helen actually died there when
she
had an accident on November 5th, 1950, where a handgun fell to the floor and discharged when she was reaching into a jewellery box. It was like sitting on the table. She knocked it, fell to the floor and shot her. So it shot her into the chest and she ended up getting pneumonia, obviously, because it went through her lungs most likely.
Oh, wait, so the gunshot actually didn't kill her. It was pneumonia.
Yeah, she died of pneumonia 3 days later. And people who have gone into the living quarters have reported smelling her rose-scented perfume and have seen her, like, they've seen glimpses of her walking into her bathroom, which was, like, all pink, like, pink-themed. And I don't know, the way, like, she's rose-scented and, like, a pink bathroom, I just feel like she was definitely, like, a really cute lady.
I'd say she's definitely a dote.
Yeah.
I'd say she definitely went to, like, if she saw any of the prisoners, she's like, pet, well, how are you? Like,
how are you? Yeah.
I don't know, hope you're keeping well. Or I'd say she was lovely.
Yeah, give me nice vibes. Arthur ended up dying 9 years later and because he had a heart attack in his office on the 10th of February 1959. Yes. Funding kind of started going downhill then. Not then, it wasn't because of Arthur, but it was just, you know, around the same time funding kind of waned and there was also an increase.
But then as well, if you have someone that everybody respected, like they're gone now.
Yeah.
You probably won't pump as much money into it.
Yeah, it definitely does drop off.
Anymore, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, there was like an increased need for prison space as well at this stage. So overcrowding became an issue. And it ended up that sometimes there were actually 4 inmates put in a cell together. And I watched the Unsolved episode again and the two boys went into one of the cells. It's so fucking small, man. Like it's they're so small. Like I'm saying 6 by 10 feet maybe, max.
Okay. I'm not a mathematician, I'm so sorry. I have no idea how big that is.
So that's like 2 of you lying down long. And then 1 of you wide, give or take.
Huh?
Yeah. As in the lads wouldn't have been able to lie down and stretch out widthwise on the floor. It was that small.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
How many people in there?
Four. And the bunks were like, there was only like, in the cell I saw, there was only two bunks and they were single bunks.
Uh-huh.
So like.
So were they topping and tailing?
They must have been. They must have been. Or else did people sleep on the floor? Because what, you get bunked in with some dickhead who's like, I'm not fucking sharing a bunk with you. You can sleep on the floor. So now you're on the floor on concrete.
But you know what? I'd nearly rather that. Imagine, right, you have limited space, like extremely limited space in this tiny ass thing.
And you can't even stretch out in bed.
Inside somebody.
No.
No, my God.
Even take turns. I had the bunk last night, you get it today, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So with this, the reformatory started taking in like serious violent criminals, and eventually it became a maximum security prison.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose this is probably like an issue with money. They were like, okay, we're not getting enough money trying to be a reformatory anymore. We're bringing in the big guns. We're going to actually like become a proper prison.
Be a prison bitch.
With this, obviously, with the more aggressive prisoners coming in, the guards started like being dickheads basically, and mistreatment became basically commonplace. Yeah. Which is a sin, because they definitely were like just frustrated in general with like the bad prisoners. So they were taking all their shit out on everyone then. On July 15th, 1898, the New York Times ran a story telling of how 45 prisoners were hung by their thumbs after going on strike due to not being able to get tobacco in the prison. Yeah. And they were also punished.
By
only given one meal a day for like an extended period of time as punishment as well. Their thumbs.
How are you meant to suspend your entire body weight off your hand? Like, your hands are fucked after that. Even if they heal, like they're dislocated, they're fucked. There's no way they'd probably be able to work again after that.
Your thumb is fucked after that, because how long are you hung for? Like, they didn't say. But I mean, I feel like it's definitely a extended period of time.
Yeah.
Even being hung from your wrists. Like, when you're think of like being on monkey bars, how much weight is on your hands alone. And then that's just your thumbs.
And it hurts like.
And it's not even a case of you can grip with your thumbs, because you're literally hung from them. So you're just. So sore like.
How the fuck did they? Jesus Christ. The fact that whoever even thought that that would be a good idea to do, like, that had to be done in some like medieval times or something.
Yeah, it was. I remember I think it was in Harry Potter. Fucking Filch was given out that he wasn't allowed to hang students by their thumbs anymore.
God.
That it was a thing that they used to be able to do back in the old day. So I'd say it was definitely a thing. It's just a really fucking random thing. Like, how creative do you have to be to think of like punishments like that?
Charlie, man, I feel like it was the people in the medieval times. They had for coming up with mental bizarre shit.
Like, I feel like
fear of anguish
whipping thing. And like even burnt at the stake and stuff like that. I feel like they're kind of obvious punishments. But the really random ones, like even like the whole ripping off people's fingernails, that's like, they kind of make sense. They're kind of obvious.
Yeah, I feel like, you know that's going to hurt, so you're going to do it.
Yeah. Who thinks of hanging someone by their thumbs?
Do you remember, I don't think you were on this episode, but back in like Salem times, they used to do this thing, like they got it from the medieval times, so it was called like the pear of anguish. And it was basically this thing that was shaped like a pear, and they would put it into girls' like vaginas and up their arses, right? And literally twist this knob thing, and it would open up like a blooming fucking flower inside of them, like literally stretching them out so wide. Like, who thought of that? It's actually a thing that they want to do.
Oh my God, I'm after Googling it. They used to do it to their mouths as well.
Yeah, dirty bastards. Like, why would you even think to do that? What's wrong with you? Who hurt you?
Oh my God, that's disgusting.
Actually, vile. So that's why I feel like this thing definitely had to come from that time period, because...
How do you think of things like that?
All the kooky shit was going down. How do you think? And then to go out and think, like, I'm going to try and make this. Maybe don't. Maybe take up needle pointing. There's so many other good ways you can spend your time. Ever heard of crocheting?
God's sake, like... Okay, so conditions became so bad that prison actually ended up being shut down entirely in December of 1990 by federal court order.
Oh, when the government shuts it down, you know it's bad.
You know it's bad.
It's like that, it's run out of money.
This was as a result of a prisoner's class action suit citing overcrowding and inhumane conditions. So it was really bad.
But for them as well to side with a prisoner is a bit fucking...
Yeah.
I don't know, like, not bizarre, because obviously, but the fact that he was actually listened to... And then
that's how bad it must have been. Like, someone got out and was like, Matt, lads, you need to fucking sort out whatever the fuck is going on in there, because it's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Since the closing, most of the grounds and support buildings, including the outer wall, have been demolished. In 1995, the Mansfield Reformatory Preservation Society was formed, and they have since turned the prison into a museum. They conduct tours to help fund grounds rehabilitation projects, and currently work to stabilise the buildings against further deterioration. Because I suppose it's a... I mean, the building is quite nice looking, to be fair, so I can understand that they might want to, like, mind it. But also, like, at the same time, I don't understand minding shit that like awful things happened in.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, I get it because it's history, but at the same time, why do you need the physical building?
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
But they've kind of revamped everything, and the reformatory, the building now, is currently used to host like loads of different events throughout the year. One of the most popular, it's so random, being the Inkcarceration Music and Tattoo Festival. Inkcarceration.
I mean, clever name. It's a bit bad form.
It's a bit bad form. And it's a 3-day rock but band show in mid-July. And then there's like other events, which like the Shawshank Hustle, which is a 7K running race that goes past 5 film locations of the Shawshank Redemption. There's a murder mystery dinner theatre. There's a photography event. And there's a beer fest.
Okay, look. Will I say that if we were there, would we attend? I'm going to say yes. Is that a big platform?
Yes.
But you get cool rock bands, you get tattooed, you have a murder mystery fucking dinner, which is really exciting, and then you get to go on a little sprint. Like, imagine you're at the bar, you get the langers, and then you get the case of the zoomies, and you actually can go running.
Yeah.
Because guess what? There's a little running track that you can go on.
Sounds fucking class to me, to be honest.
Actually, it does now, to be honest.
Over the course of its operation, the prison housed over 154,000 inmates. At least 215 of these died, either by violence or disease, and at least one guard was killed by inmates.
I'm surprised it's only one.
Yeah, I don't know why I said at least one, because I have three named. But anyways.
Oh. But even at that, three is a small number for the amount of prisoners that were there. How awful a lot of the guards were to these prisoners, I'm surprised.
Yeah.
The number wasn't higher.
So, November of 1926, a 72-year-old guard was killed during an unsuccessful escape attempt. And the shooter...
sorry. What? 72?
Yeah, I know. But sure...
Your man was practically coffin dodging anyway.
Yeah, back then,
72.
Like...
72?
Yeah, to be working, and it's a stressful job, like, for your age, man.
Yeah. Nah, a man was taken. No offence. Literally no disrespect. But, surprise. No, it's actually bad form that they had somebody at that age working there. Somebody should be looking after
him. I'm sorry, he's 72 and he gets murdered. Like, that's a sin.
That is a sin.
So the shooter was a man named Philip Orlick, and he was arrested 2 months later and was sentenced to death by electrocution, which is so fucking sick. 6 months later, in October 1932. How was that 6 months later? I just wrote shit down and it just wasn't even fucking... 6 months later in October 1932. What am I talking about?
See, I didn't even cut that mistake. See, when I tell you, lads, when you say stuff with confidence, nobody questions it. I wouldn't have even said that to you.
Yeah, true. I should have just gone with it. Anyways, 4 years later, in October 1932. That's not even 4 years, it's 6 years. Man.
Kiva, you have a concussion, okay? You have drink brain and then knee fell on top of you last night.
It's all news for
right. You have a lump on the back of your skull.
I actually have a sizable lump.
We positively say you're concussed. So it's grand.
Okay. Two inmates, Merrill Chandler, bad name, and Chester Probasky. Mm-hmm. Bludgeoned a 48-year-old prison guard. His name was Frank Hanger. They beat him to death with an iron bar during an attempted prison break, which failed, and they were both executed in 1935. So,
lads, if there's no means to an end, what the fuck are you doing it for? Like, if there's a possibility where you are going to get caught, which is highly fucking likely, you're telling me you're scaling Hogwarts to get out of there.
No, don't kill him. Now you're now you're in extra trouble.
Yeah.
Do you know?
At least just break his kneecaps. With
knock him out.
He can't run after you then. Break his ankle.
Just knock him out. They wouldn't have killed you if you hadn't killed him. And it's also such an awful thing to do. Like, you actually bludgeon someone. I feel like that's so savage.
Yeah. Because it's repetitive then. It's not just like a knock.
Yeah, like a bad hit, like, took him out. It's a, you actually bludgeoned him. So, some of these inmate deaths, you know, I said there was like 200 at least. Some of them were caused by other inmates, but some of them were self-inflicted. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I said 1957 here, but I can't even say that confidently because it's the state of the shit that I've written so far.
I'm going to say it right. In 1957, this is canon fact, and don't dare anybody ever just...
Don't Google this, please. Continue. Thank you. There was a riot started by one of the inmates, and 120 prisoners got involved in this riot. Guards managed to control it, but punishments were really harsh to, like, because they didn't want another attempt, basically. And 120 men
set an example.
Were put into the solitary cells, of which there were only 20. So what's that? 6 men per cell, left in complete darkness for an entire month. Not thinking, the guards paired up 2 of the most violent inmates and put them into a cell. And a month later, they opened up one of the cells and found only 5 men with a corpse neatly just stuffed in under the bed. The people went fucking mad inside the places, and even with just the fact of how cramped it is,
of course, so
people are going to go mental and they're going to kill each other for fucking space.
Yeah. But you've sensory deprivation then as well, and you do start to go mad with that shit. Yeah. And then you have the added stress on top of it. If there was a mental, like, as in if a few, like, extremely violent lads are in there anyway.
Yeah.
It's probably sweating. Like, that's a recipe for disaster. Like, I don't know how they thought...
It was a good idea.
That wasn't going to have a long-term effect, even for them. Like, you're telling me that this is going to just suddenly shock these prisoners into behaving well.
It only makes them worse, because...
I don't think it's going to make them worse.
So, these 20 cells were obviously known to be the most haunted area in the entire fucking reformatory. Inmates living in the hole, as it was called, were forced to spend as much as 2 weeks in pitch black cells with small portions of food and water given once every few days. So even like their human interaction in regards to the guards was really limited. So obviously a load of them were driven into madness and killed themselves. Visitors who enter the cells report feeling a sense of uneasiness as if someone is watching them from a corner of the empty cell. Other incidents in the hole were that an inmate hung himself, a guard was killed by inmates... An inmate lit himself on fire, and one instance where two inmates were put in a cell together and only one came out. So,
and that young lad that lit himself on fire, wasn't he like, he was due to be released like 2 days after the fact, like after he'd lit himself on fire, or like a week or something. Like it was very short at the time where he was going to get out.
Yeah,
and he lit himself on fire.
So his name was James Lockhart, and he actually covered himself in turpentine, which he stole from the prison furniture shop, and lit a match and set himself on fire. And his, you know, presence is considered to be one of the most violent. He was in cell number 13 when he poured the liquid over himself and lit himself on fire. And the guards didn't notice. They only realised it was happening when the man in number 14 screamed because flames were spreading into his cell. So he was there in his cell trapped and was trying to scoop water out of his sink to stave off, like, burns.
Jesus Christ.
And... I mean, what can you do? The guards just had to basically watch as the fire just burned himself out. Burned it. Like, you know, they just had to wait for it to go out, basically. Because you can't redo anything. He was only 22 when it happened.
That's so fucking sad.
Yeah. They said that he'd gotten a decent amount of time inside. Someone said 15 years, but that... Like, if you're after saying now that he was due to be released.
Yeah, I remember... You know Zach Baggins from Ghost Adventures?
Yeah.
He went and he did a thing there. And from the tour, the guy... Or somebody either was there or knew somebody that was at the prison then was just telling him about that young lad. And from what he had said, he was only there for like a few short weeks. Like he'd only been arrested for like a couple of months because it was like petty theft or it was like something really stupid.
Yeah.
So he only had a couple of months, but he did this. I think it was like under a year or just over a year.
That's so such a sin, like. So...
But how bad was that place that he was getting out soon? And he was like, lads, I actually can't deal with this anymore.
Yeah.
Like that place had fucked him up that bad.
To light himself on fire. Some people have reported that they've heard screams coming from his cell if you know, when you visit the reformatory at night.
Mm-hmm.
And other people have said that they felt like a warmth when they touched the cell doors.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah. So there was also another guy, his name was Larry Harmer. He was only given a sentence of a year for damaging property during a break-in. But a week before he was being put in, like, I suppose he was in another prison while he was waiting for his sentence, we'll say. And he was due to be transferred. He used the sheets off his bed to hang himself rather than go.
Okay, well, no, maybe I'm getting confused then.
Maybe
our man who lit himself on fire was the fella that had like 15 years. And sure, yeah, that makes sense in there. Was this that?
Maybe.
No, that's my fault. No, now that it's said aloud,
yeah.
I think I was wrong.
Yeah, that he was like, but for him to be like, to take that big of a drastic action, like, obviously this place must have had such a bad name for itself.
Yeah.
Do you know? Nobody really knows why, like, obviously, other than, like, guessing that, you know, he'd heard that it was really bad. But some people also think that maybe that there was, like, someone he knew inside that he didn't want to...
Oh, shit.
...go into.
Yeah.
One particularly active area is a room on the third floor of the administrative building, which is known as the chair room. It's one of the only rooms in the whole building that has no windows, and a single chair just sits in the centre of the room. And investigators have said that if it's moved out of its spot, it's put back.
Oh, shit.
Which is really fucking sick. Another investigator claimed to have been pushed and scratched by whatever's in the room. The chapel is also known to be very active, and it's said that it's actually used as a place for executions. Like, it was used as a place for executions before it was made into the chapel. Which is so fucked.
That's not right.
No.
I feel like there was definitely another space in which you could have made a chapel.
It's really disrespectful or something. And, like, the spirits there are known to, like, if you try and leave, they'll, like, grab you. Yeah, which made me feel really sick, to be honest. Yeah, so, and yeah, as I said, it was that bad that in the 1990 then, end of 1990, it was shut down with a federal court order because of how bad everything was. It should have been shut down a long time before that, but...
A long fucking time, yeah.
That's Jesus it, really. Christ. I say that's it, really, as if it wasn't fucking awful. For your man to light himself on fire, yeah, is like, sure, so fucked, like...
So to say, I'm very sorry as well, because I was like, nah, he was the one that only got a year.
You
I totally
right.
derailed that entire thing, because... No, now that you've said that there was another fella that only had a year, I know wires got crossed in this fucking noggin of mine, and I was wrong.
Yeah.
So apologies.
Yeah, fucking bad. Like, I don't know, I feel like it's, you know, obviously having like stuff, like events and stuff held there, like I feel like it's a good idea, but to have something called incarceration.
Yeah, wild clever.
But it's a little bit on the nose.
Yeah, like there's some poor healer up in cell 13 wailing in pain because he was incarcerated for a bit too fucking long and decided, nah, I'm going to peace out, sign out, see you later. Maybe don't, wordplay always isn't great.
I mean, it's very clever, but...
Extremely clever. Okay, I'd be bold enough to say it's slightly disrespectful.
Yeah.
Slightly, but would I still go to it? Yes, I would.
Yeah, same. 100%.
Would you stay, like... I think for there you can do, well, I say it's probably fucking expensive, like, but I think you can do like overnight ghost tours. Would you do one there? Like, if you were to say had to be locked in that room that has like the chair.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, unless something was really scary and like throwing things around, I don't think I'd mind.
I would do it because if we'll just say we were all going, I would not do it, but I don't think I'd sit in the room by myself because I feel like I would drive myself mad. Like, I would make myself worse. Like, I'd nearly make myself see shit in the shadows. You know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
And then I'd be freaking out, even though it more than likely would have been fine. I still would have been a bit terrified. Or down in that spooky recreational room where there was, like, that ghost that was going around shank... Well, no, he wasn't a ghost when he was doing it. Your man that was going around shanking people. Apparently, like, he still fucking haunts down there and, like, attacks people. And you get, like, pains in your back and shit.
Ew.
Like, I don't think I'd go down there because if I went down and then had a pain in my back, I'm like, a ghost is trying to murder me yet again.
I've just... Stop. Yeah. Someone,
I've had enough now.
Someone tried to stab me. Like, they couldn't because they were ghosts, but they would have if they weren't.
But you know what? But that's also very fucking embarrassing on their behalf. If you're a ghost, you have nothing. What are you going to do? You're just aggressively poking me in the back. You're irritating me now. Stop it.
Like, actually leave me alone?
Get a grip. Maybe go find some fucking enlightenment and you might pass on. Because you're getting on my fucking nerves now, let me tell you. We'd be the worst people to go in and go on a ghost hunt because we would provoke the shit out of those spirits.
Yeah.
We'd be calling them all sorts of names. All sorts of names. I feel like we wouldn't take it seriously at all. Because why would we?
No, why would we?
I think Sav would end up strangling the two of us. Because I feel like if like she would like actually try get evidence, you know, to like have on like the podcast and stuff.
And we would just be taking the piss.
And it would just be us going round. Yeah. Very much like, do you know how Shane was like, what did Shane from BuzzFeed Unsolved do?
Hey there, demons, like, it's me, your boy.
Yeah, your boy. I feel like that's what we'd be like. Or if we heard something like, oh, there's a man who went and lit himself on fucking fire. Fail. Like, we'd be awful.
We should do it.
We'd be so fucking bad. I think we should. Definitely when I'm back, if we have time, either before we go to London or after we get back and I come back to you for like a day or two, we have to go back to thing, what's it called?
Our Lady's.
St. Mary's. And I'm determined to bring Leah this time because I think she said she's never gone in to that part, like that part of it.
Yeah, we'll have to go and have a look. Mic up.
I think it'd be really funny. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Do you remember actually where we went before? Sorry, this like not including the creepy man that we saw lurking at us from the fucking tree. Do you remember when we all saw it?
Mm-hmm.
But we saw it from different angles and we all like, it was so weird. But do you remember then when me and you went during the day and you brought me to like the old road of it?
I hated that.
And we were like
that.
Looking over the wall. That was the worst thing ever. Like basically in this like old asylum TV ward fucking thing, there's like an old road that you, like an old entrance that used to go into it. And by it, there's like an old wall. And me and Kiva went one day and we wanted to see what was on the other side of the wall. Like, so Kiva hops up first, looks around. And I don't know, did you say you could see something, but you couldn't see what it was? Or like it looked black or something. I hopped up on the wall.
Yeah.
Well, not up on it, but had a look around. Couldn't see shit because I'm blind as fuck. And I was like, right, okay, we couldn't see it. But as we started to walk away, do you remember feeling the vibrations on the ground as if somebody had hopped over the wall and then you could feel the pounding on the ground as if somebody was like running towards us?
Yeah, someone was chasing us.
And I tell you, we didn't see a single person, but when I tell you, we fucking legged it. I don't think I've ever ran as fast in my life.
It was awful.
That was scary because it was so quiet. It was so quiet. Like, there was nothing. Literally, there was nobody there.
And then we found...
Because we couldn't... What like, book when we turned did we back, find? Oh, my God. It was like a...
Fucking Phantom of the Opera or something.
Yeah, it was like a creepy page from that. Like, I don't think it was a full book, was it? Or was it just like a page?
It was... There was pages of it, like, had been ripped out and, like, scattered.
Which was weird.
I think I still have one of the pages. I'll see if I can find it. We can put it up on the Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was scary.
But it was. It was really fucking weird. And we don't know what it was. Remember, we bought a pocket knife out and everything.
Yeah.
Which I don't know who we thought we were going to be shanking ghosts, but still.
We were full sure we were going to be killed. And we went anyways.
Yeah. We went anyway. Like, because Dickens, wasn't someone attacked up there or something? Or, I don't know, the last time we had went, he found, like, a tent with, like, newspaper clippings and, like, it was just, like, weird shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... Yeah, me and Eve had gone, like, a couple of weeks beforehand and seen there was, like, someone camping in the woods. But it was, like, it was creepy the way it was.
Creepy.
Yeah, I didn't like that one.
No. And honestly, now thinking of it, we'd actually die in a horror film because we knew full well that it was probably going to be a bit scary, a bit dangerous. And yet we were like, sure, fuck it. It's grand. I'll just bring a knife. Like, why was that a normal thought process to us? Like, all right, it's grand.
Instead of just not going.
Like, we went in there probably expecting something dodgy to happen. And yeah, we could have easily done something. We could have went into town and got a chicken Caesar bagel with extra sauce. Do you know what I mean? Could have had a cracking time. But no. But then, after that, we did meet that cracking little pony, Gus.
Yes.
So silver linings, lads. He was lovely. And I usually do have beef with ponies because the Shetland pony did go to bite me once, little bastard. But Gus was nice. A great time for him. I hope he's doing well.
He was a lovely little lad.
Oh, he was gorgeous. So yeah, lads, that's it. So we were, like I was saying at the start, Savannah's going to be back for next week. We were off for a couple of weeks, not sure how long because time means nothing now. And I don't even know what day of the week it is, to be honest. We were off because Savannah is our editor and because she was, you know, dying sick, not actually dying, just extremely unwell. Obviously, the girl had to rest, okay? Obviously. So now that she's well, we'll be back. We have a few episodes recorded, so I hope you look forward to hearing that. And also, just wanted to say, recently, like literally within like the last 2 weeks, we've gotten like really, really nice messages off people off Instagram and Twitter, just like being like dead supportive, which is still bizarre to us because we're like fucking weirded out thinking that anybody but people that are close to us actually listen to us and enjoy it.
Yeah, it's really,
like it's just a bit weird to me. But obviously we love it. Like, we were so I was fucking so delighted when I seen them. I was like, oh.
Yeah, they were very cute, actually.
Yeah, they were really, really nice. So thank you so much, lads. It was dead sweet. So sound out. Keep them coming, you know. Make our heads bigger than they fucking already are. But anyway. So I think we're going to say sayonara. See you later for this week. And we'll be back next week, possibly with Carl Pattinson. Possibly, because was I meant to start notes doing him today? Yes, but did I want to watch a K-drama instead? Yes, I did.
What are you watching?
Oh, it was The Scholar Who Stalks Tonight or some shit like that. Oh, I can't remember what. Like, it's not worded properly.
Who's in it?
It's, oh, don't ask. I haven't got a clue. It's good, but also awful. Like, the vampy fight or fight scenes are awful because it's so poorly done. But the drama itself is great, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's given me the worst cringe in Twilight, but the story is great. And it's a period drama, so obviously I'm eating that shit up. You know what I mean?
I love them.
So fucking much. Yeah, lads. So, COVID's still a fucking thing, I suppose. And actually, it's COVID's getting really bad back here now again, so you have to wear your masks outside now. Reckon my buzz. So unfortunately, we still have to say positive vibes and negative tests. And as Savannah is still not here to say, always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles.
And join our club.